From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Iraq today, Interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi warned that insurgents are trying to incite a civil war.
They want to create ethnic and religious tensions, problems, and conflicts to destroy the unity of this country, Alawi told reporters in Baghdad, and he blamed the insurgents for yesterday's deadly attacks.
Those attacks were some of the worst since the U.S. handed power to the interim Iraqi government. In Najaf, a car bomb went off during the funeral of a powerful tribal leader. In nearby Karbala, another Shiite holy city, a car bomb detonated at the entrance to a crowded bus terminal. In all, more than 60 people were killed. Iraqi officials say they've detained dozens for questioning in the attacks.
And while this violence in the Shiite south has made the headlines, there is still trouble in Fallujah. More than a month after the battle for the city ended, its residents are still refugees. A large number of the buildings and homes there have been destroyed or damaged, and there are no essential services. The U.S. military and the Iraqi interim government have developed plans to resettle the city, but as NPR's Mike Schuster reports, new insurgent resistance has set back that effort.
At night, it is still not unusual to hear the thunder of distant fire, even from Camp Fallujah, the main base of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, about 4 miles from the city. It can be the dull thud of tank fire or airstrikes. Or it could be artillery from the base, trained on the insurgents who remain in the city. By late November, the fighting there ended, but about 10 days ago, the insurgents resumed their attacks. On December 12th, they surprised 2 Marine rifle teams. 7 Marines died. In the counterattack, the Marines killed 50 insurgents, according to U.S. officials. It is estimated there may be as many as 200 insurgents still there. They remain living either above ground in the rubble or below ground in tunnels. Fallujah is not safe, says Colonel John Ballard, commanding officer of the Marines' 4th Civil Affairs Group.
There are ongoing combat operations in the city. There are still pockets of resistance. There are still caches of explosives that we are finding. My first precondition for the return of the citizens is that there is a safe environment. Not just a secure environment from a military perspective, but a safe environment from the perspective of children and elderly citizens coming back into town. And I think we need to have a certain level of assurance that they will be okay to walk the streets and to be around their homes.
The city's population before the battle was estimated at above 200,000. Nearly all of them fled. Now, even as the Marines continue to mop up resistance, U.S. civilian and military authorities have been working at a plan to bring the city's people back. It will be complex and controversial. The military intends to create biometric identification cards for all men of military age, thumbprints and retina scans. These are already in use here for criminals. Colonel Ballard says these methods are meant to check for prior criminal activity.
Anybody who comes into the city who is a military age male, who looks suspicious, we will issue them a card, an ID card, to ensure that they have no prior offenses, and then that will ease their flow in and out of the city in the future. In other words, women and children and those above 65, we don't have much of a concern about them. They will be searched like everybody else, but there won't be any real scrutiny.
Fallujans will not be allowed to take their own cars into the city. A shuttle bus system has been set up for returning residents, and they will have to leave their cars in parking lots on the outskirts. This is to prevent gridlock, which would make rebuilding that much harder. It is also to counter the most devastating weapon in use in Iraq, the car bomb. Colonel Ballard and others say this bus system should be able to provide for all the transportation needs of Fallujans, but that remains to be seen. The plan is also to resettle the city first in the least destroyed neighborhoods, and it will be the job of the Iraqi interim government to inform those it intends to bring back initially. The problem here is that once the initial word is out, Fallujans are likely to return in the thousands, and the Marines could very well have to turn away many whose neighborhoods are not yet ready for their return. Fallujans are eager to get back. 13,000 refugees have been crowded into a lakeside resort in Habaniya, not far from Fallujah. An Iraqi reporter for NPR visited there a few days ago and found them anxious about the future. It's my city, says Abu Kusa, who is living in Habaniya with his extended family of 14. Fallujah is close to my heart, the place where I was born and my father and grandfather too. It's my city, he repeats, and I have to go back. There is disagreement between Iraq's interim prime minister, Iyad Alawi, and the U.S. authorities about how soon resettlement can start. Alawi has been saying it should start any day now. The Marines need another week or two, they say. John Weston, the civilian representative of the U.S. Embassy in the city, insists this is an entirely Iraqi decision.
We have no veto over when locals will return. That's a decision for the government, and we've been in daily contact with them about when the conditions are right. It's really a conditions-driven process, because the last thing we want to do is create a humanitarian crisis where one presently does not exist in the city.
Politics is also in play here, with the January 30th elections looming and Prime Minister Alawi wanting to appear an effective leader. The current condition of the city raises the fundamental question of whether the election can even be held there. Above all, it's not clear just how quickly the Marines can clear the city of its remaining insurgents. And even when that is accomplished, there are still more fighters nearby. An Iraqi employee of NPR traveled near Fallujah in recent days, and he encountered insurgents twice, once maintaining a roadblock south of Fallujah. The second time, he saw two insurgents digging holes and placing roadside bombs. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Baghdad.